Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we recognize, Lord, that all things are possible because you're here. And Father, we ask that you would be with us today in service. Help us to understand, Lord, reasons why you are here. And help us, Lord, to just lay aside our own thinking, to set aside our own thoughts, for our thoughts are not your thoughts, and our ways are not your ways, Father, for your ways are much higher than our ways, and your thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves to the reading of your word, to the living of your word, to the reflecting of your word. And we ask, Father, that you would truly come into our hearts and minds, and may you receive the preeminence, not only in this service, but in our lives. For we ask it humbly, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning we'll continue in paragraph 200 of the masterpiece. And we're going to move up through the paragraph 203 of Brother Branham's sermon. And I'd just like to begin by reading. He says, O Church of the Living God, bow your hearts and yourselves before God. You know, we can't do that enough. Brother Branham said you can eat enough, you can play enough, you can work enough, but you simply can't pray enough. And I really believe that we need to be more and more a praying people, especially in this last hour when wickedness is on every hand. And, you know, I just look at what the governments are doing, and just got a call from Brother Mario last night, and he mentioned that in Bolivia they just passed a new law stating that that all Americans will now have to are required to have a visa to enter. And he said the president there is leading them right down the same path into not only socialism but into communism as the dictator of Venezuela has been doing, and Castro, and they're kind of aligning themselves in the southern hemisphere with that. So that's going to bring on a persecution, no doubt, of the believers. And Brother Mario, just keep him in prayer. He would like to leave there, and he would like to bring his family up here, but it's not going to be much better up here because we have people in government that are moving in the same direction. It's basically world dominance. They want to dominate the young, you know, the little people. You know, there's a handful that want to run everything. That's what communist was. You know, in Russia, the Communist Party was 2% of the people. And the people running the whole show was less than 2%, and they were just running everything. And they're the ones that, if you notice, in Europe now, you've got all these multimillionaires that are Russians, you know, that have come to America, they've come to Europe, and they got their sporty cars and all that. Well, those are the people that have been, you know, raping the economy and raping the people, you know, financially for years. And now they're getting out of that system because it's completely decayed and crumbling, and they're moving over into other countries. And they're spending their money in luxury and women and drugs and, you know, whatever they want to do because, you know, let's face it, they have the money. And the governments are wanting to attract those kind of people. So that's what's, you know, it's just bringing corruption more and more and more. And our representatives aren't any better. They're all corrupt. I don't know of one representative in the House of Representatives that isn't corrupt, that hasn't stepped aside from his convictions to feather his nest. And you know, you've got men in there that they say they had a total net worth of $80,000 when they went in, and they leave after 8 years and they're worth millions of dollars. So, you know, the whole thing is corrupt, and I just can't wait for the Lord to completely finish the whole thing, because I'm ready to go home myself. I would like to, I'm sure a lot of you would like to get out of this pest house anyway. And so Lord, come quickly. That's my prayer. Anyway, so he says, O Church of the Living God, bow your hearts and yourselves before God. These things are true. And I know that it sounds like that as such a great thing as that would be, that it would be so spread out over the nations, but it never was.
He doesn't change His way. So just be thankful, church. Be thankful that you are where you are today if you're in Christ. And let me just say this, if you're not in Christ, then woe be to you. But He says, just be thankful, church. Be thankful that you are where you are today if you're in Christ, because you see now and remember, all that life will be gathered right into the grain for the resurrection. All the life that was coming up through the ages is gathering together in the grain for the resurrection. But the stalk must be burned, the rest of it, the husk and all must be destroyed, and it will be. Don't trust in them denominations. You stay in the Word, the life. God and His masterpiece. Then what is it in the millennium? Christ and His bride. Back in the garden of the millennium. Amen. Then Brother Branham begins to close with the song, I Love Him. But just because he's singing this song, it does not mean that he is through making his point. And so he says, I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. There is where he was smitten. We esteemed him smitten, stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. Is there any here this morning who isn't in that grain this morning? And as the life is now pulling its last piece from the husk, for the husk is drying. How many knows that Pentecostal church is drying? And what is it? It's the life leaving it. Frankly, it's left. And if that bride is already in preview, I wonder if the bride isn't already made up then. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. It sounded as though, because of some of the visions Brother Branham had, that to him it seemed like it must be almost 99% all over. To sit in the audience listening to a vindicated prophet, vindicated by the very presence of God, and such somber thoughts, to say, I wonder if that bride isn't already made up then. And if that bride is already in the preview, I wonder if the bride isn't already made up then. Scary to think about. Now, this last statement is one that the boys who love to hold the people down will use to place them in a fear mode. I mean, those boys who try to teach that there is no more mercy, or that Jesus left the mercy seat in 1963. In 1 John 1 and verse 7, we read, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, so His presence has got to be there, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, continues to cleanse us from all our sin. So as long as you're walking in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ is still cleansing you from all sin. And that is our hope as we traverse the world to spread the doctrine of Christ to this lost and dying world. In the message called out, Brother Branham said, when the last one is brought in, then the word will not be effective anymore. Now what does that mean? Steve, what does the word effective mean? Okay, something that works. All right. Anybody else want to add to that, Ron? Okay, it has an impact. Adam? Okay. It's of no use anymore. Miguel, you got anything to add to that? Brings fruit? All right. Notice he says, when the last one is brought in, then the word will not be effective anymore. No more fruit, no more use. In other words, it's over at that time when... Let him that is filthy be filthy still. There's no more change. Let him that is righteous be righteous still. It'll be like casting pearls before swine over the whole earth. But as we see our nation riding under the tide of judgment, and we see across the sea, yonder, black arms, yellow and brown, reaching out and crying for mercy, our hearts are stirred within us. In other words, what Brother Branham is telling us here is that it's virtually over for this nation. She's done past her day of reckoning. And the judgments are setting in. What are some of those judgments? In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter, I believe it's 26. Might be wrong on that, but let me just check it out here. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Chapter 28. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. You know, there was a time when this nation was set on high. There was a time when this nation was above all the nations of the earth. It's not anymore. They can't even go overseas and fight a rabble army that's dissimulated, that have not the weapons, nor the technology, nor the training that our army has, and they can't even defeat a bunch of Muslims. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be in the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thine kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shalt be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face in thy very presence. They shall come out against thee one way, and they shall flee thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee as a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. If you walk in the light, as he is in the light. And all the people of the earth shall see thee, that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of the ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain unto thy land for his season, to bless the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Not only come upon thee, but you won't even see them coming, and they shall overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. How many murders do we get every year in Cincinnati? How many murders do we get in Detroit, in Los Angeles, in New York, in Washington, D.C.? There's more murders done in probably the top 10 cities in this country than there is in this war in Iraq on an annual basis. People being gunned down by their own brothers. You talk about a nation under a curse. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. You can't hardly buy any food from the field anymore because it's full of disease. Every 2 weeks there's a national call out for some type of disease that people are getting from eating the foods of the fields here in America. Not just stuff brought in overseas, but stuff here in America. It used to be this nation was the wheat basket of the world. Now she's dependent on third world countries for her produce, for her food. And people won't buy the food produced in this country because science has gotten so involved with it. And they've distorted and twisted and turned the genetic structures and everything else to the point it's poison to your bodies. We're living under a curse as a nation. Egypt was cursed, and the plagues came down upon Egypt, 10 of them. But remember one thing, those that were walking in the light, those that were in Goshen, the plagues were commanded not to come near their home. Commanded! So that means that those plagues are the responses of devils set loose. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thine land, the increase of thine kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make thee pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with the consumption, and with fever, and with inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them. And thou shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth, and thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air, and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch whereof thou cannot be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, and blindness, and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope in noonday as a blind gropeth in darkness, and as thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and thou shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored unto thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people. And thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall be a nation, shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. Sounds like Mexico coming in, doesn't it? And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot under the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set up over thee, unto a nation which thou neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather but little in, for the locusts shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather of the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, for thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. You know, I look at all the people coming into the country and are doing very, very well. And yet we have the people in this country who are not doing well at all. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies which the Lord shall send unto thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thine kine, or flocks, or thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high fences, or thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trusted, throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all the gates throughout all the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee, in the siege, and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother, etc. We can go on and on and on, where he says that you will be the borrower, not the lender. You will be the tail and not the head. America is under a curse. It used to be that we were the lending nation. We lent money to all the nations. Today we have to borrow. From souls in prison now, Brother Bram said, everything that he had redeemed was written in that book. All that he died for was written in that book, and he could not leave his mediatorial seat until he had thoroughly redeemed, and he couldn't redeem it at the cross because we were predestinated in the Lamb's Book of Life and had to stay on there to make intercession until that last person was finished. Glory. So as long as the last one is not yet brought in, we still have an effective word to bring to the world. America is finished, Brother Bram said that in 1956. But there are still nations that are open to the word. There are still peoples of tongues and multitudes. But he has not left the mercy seat yet. So with the sin question answered, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ is still cleansing you. There's still time to receive God's mercy. And since the mercy seat question is answered, he's still on the mercy seat until the last one is in and child trained. Then there will be no more mercy. But as long as the child training is going on and he has not taken us home in the rapture, then there is still time for mercy. And the scripture says that every son that cometh to God must first be child trained. Every son. You're not going to get away from it. Now, I don't know by what form of trial you personally must go through, but every one of us, God will put us to the test in those areas where we are weakest. But as Peter said, we are tried for the purpose of approval. God has placed something in you which the world cannot take. And you will go through the same test as other people go through, only they will fall. You are ordained to overcome. Because greater is he that's with you than he that's in the world. But you never know when that time will come, when he leaves the mercy seat. So you must get right now while you still have a time. I was looking at a picture on the wall in an office I was visiting a few days ago, and there was a picture of a young, vibrant-looking person, seemingly full of life. The name looked familiar also, as though I had had this person in one of my classrooms, or one of my classes or something, and so I asked the person whose wall that it was on if that person in the picture was any relation to them. And they replied that it had been their niece. Apparently this girl, 19 years of age, had been raised in a Christian family, and her family had been concerned for her because she had not given her life to Christ. She had not made a commitment. Yet, she said, well, I believe in those things, but I'm not ready to make a commitment yet. I'm too young. I have much to do yet. And although she had intended to do so later, but every time her parents asked her when she was going to make that very important step, she would tell them that she was too young yet. And when she got a little older, she would do so. Well, she never got her chance. She had gone down to Florida on vacation with some friends and was on the 7th-story balcony of a hotel, and she slipped and fell over. She managed to hang on to the rail, but she could not pull herself up. So she grabbed the rail and tried to swing herself over so that she could land on the 6th-story balcony, 1 story below. Well, she made it to the balcony below, but landed on her chest on the railing. She split her aorta and she bled to death before any help could come. She never made it to making her commitment. So you never know when your time is up and when your heart has beaten its last beat. You know that you're only predestined to have so many heartbeats and then your time is finished. The Apostle Paul said in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now this morning I would like to speak about this life that is in the Word, because that is what Brother Branham said, all life will be gathered right into the grain for the resurrection. And the reason this is so important, because if you're not in that grain, if you're not part of the shout, which is the message, one of these days, very soon, perhaps this Easter, perhaps this season, this spring, because Brother Branham said the resurrection will take place in the spring. And after the resurrection, let me tell you something, when the resurrection comes, those saints which slept will arise first. But they without us cannot be made perfect. We've got to have this message. They've got to have this message. And there could be a period of 40 to 50 days, perhaps 70 days as much, that the resurrected saints will be here. But if you're not in the shout now, you will not be in that place. I don't know if you're aware, but Brother Branham did say concerning the tent, the resurrection would take place in there. He also said that that woman there was taking, she had a list of names. So you did not enter into that little box and get your change unless your name was on that list. So it's by invitation only, the resurrection is. It's not for whosoever shall, or whosoever will. By invitation only. And we know the story because in the Bible it tells us a story that the wedding supper was fixed. The king sent out invitations. A man that didn't have an invitation came, and he didn't have on the wedding garment. And the Bible tells us that when he came, he tried to get in. He had actually gotten in. So Brother Branham said he didn't come through the door, which is the Word. He came another way. And he was thrown out into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing of gnashing of teeth. And Brother Branham said that's tribulation period. So he didn't get there. And you think you might get in some way because maybe you're holding on to mom and dad. Maybe you figure if mom and dad are living the life that maybe it's okay because you'll get in because you're their kid. I don't think so. God loved Jacob and he hated Esau. It's time that we make ready. It's time that we get ready. Because the going home is very soon. Brother Branham said, all life will be gathered right into the grain for the resurrection, but the stalk must be burned, the rest of it. The husk and all must be destroyed, and it will be. Don't trust in them denominations, your denomination. You stay in the Word, the life, God and His masterpiece. And from paragraph 170 of the Super Sign, Brother Branham said, many people wanted to accept Jesus. They thought that they'd do it in some other convenient time. One said they want to accept Christ, but they put it off too long. Some of them tried to get Him off their hands and tried to wash it off with water, pass the buck on to somebody else, but it backfired. It's on your hands tonight, thrown right back in your laps. Hebrews 13:8, regardless of how many councils of churches we have, it still remains as Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then Brother Branham quoted John 14:12. He said, the works that I do. And notice he says, in His life, if His life is in you, it will manifest Jesus Christ. Amen. And then he makes clear what he's talking about concerning John 14:12. In paragraph 172, he said, now you all can't be that one, but you can be part of that with your faith. All of them couldn't be a Jesus when He was on earth, but they could believe Him and accept the message. There was one Moses, one Elijah, one Noah, on down, always been that. But the rest of them could accept it, and they wouldn't have had no ministry unless there had been somebody to believe it. Jesus would have had no ministry unless somebody believed it. Paul would have had no ministry unless somebody believed it. The Holy Ghost has no ministry by the Word today unless somebody's willing to get away from their creeds and come back to the Word again, no matter how well it's here and how read it's here. It's here now. I know it's here. I feel it. I know it's here. The Word says it's here. Where two or three are gathered in My name, I'm in their midst. I'm in the midst of them. And I truly believe that He's here, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And John called Him the one who's here. He called Him the Word of life. In John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. I'd like to make that 21st century. There was a man sent from God whose name was William Branham. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And again from 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, the Word of life. Notice he calls it the Word of life because he goes on to say in verse 2, for the life was manifested. Now, how was it manifested? In the body of God's only begotten Son, that's how. And we've seen it, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested through the body of His Son to us. So we see the Word is life. It is God life. And every seed must bring forth after its kind or nature. When that Word of God life manifests itself, it manifests God life that is in it. Now notice how Brother Branham speaks of the life being gathered into the grain, and he says that the life has left Pentecost and it is now a drying shuck fit only for burning. So then, where has the life gone that was in Pentecost? He said it is in the grain and that is to be gathered into the garner. Now, I think it is interesting that in this message that Brother Branham spoke, called The Masterpiece, he begins by speaking of the source of life in the first paragraph. And in fact, our first four messages from this great series on the masterpiece. We're called, number one, the great fountain of life. Number two, the inexhaustible fountain of life. Number three, the river of life. And number four, the testing of our source of life or the trying of our spirit. And Brother Branham said, the life left the shuck. It left the husk. It left Pentecost. So have you thought then, where is that life today? He said it's in the grain, that's where. The same life that was in the first grain of wheat that fell into the ground 2,000 years ago has come up and brought forth many more grains. And that is the way all plant life works. One seed goes into the ground and the plant that springs up has many, many more seeds, just like the original. And the same pillar of fire that went back on the day of Pentecost brought forth many sons of God, represented by many licks of fire upon the heads of the saints. So you see, when the life started coming up in Luther and then in Wesley and then in Pentecost, as each part of the plant manifested for a season the life that was in it, as that life, as that life went from one part of the body to the next and on up, that life had to leave the other part as it continued on up to the head. And as Alpha has become Omega, the life that went down into the ground with the Son of God, the same life that was in Him, has come back in this hour in sons and daughters of God, coming forth in the image of His firstborn Son. And if sons, then the way that they will manifest themselves as sons is with the same obedience as a firstborn son has already shown. So we shall walk in the image of the firstborn Son. And we shall do in the image of the firstborn Son. And we are learning to speak nothing unless God tells us what to speak. We are learning not to do any actions unless God shows us what to do. And we are learning that we have no doctrine but the doctrine of God, which is the doctrine of Christ. And outside of the doctrine of Christ, we cannot go on to perfection. For perfection, which is nothing less than the spiritual maturity as sons and daughters of God, comes from knowing as we are known. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9, we read, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then shall we know even as we are known." And finally, we are learning to let go of our will in order to receive the will of Him that sent us. And the sons of God all around the world are learning to walk in the role that God has ordained for us to walk. And for that, we are coming into the image of the firstborn Son, as Paul spoke of in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." Don't ever forget that. Because as we come into the season of trials, as we come closer and closer to the purging and to the squeeze, we must understand that all things shall work together for the good of those that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." I would just like to ask if we could all shut off our cell phones before we come to church in respect for God and His Word. "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Notice, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who shall be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall we not with Him also freely give us all things. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we reverently submit ourselves unto Thee. We ask, Father, You would help us. We come here, Father, to worship Thee, to forget the world, leave the world outside. We ask, Father, that You'd help us to focus upon what You're doing in this hour, for we know that the end of all things as we know them is just around the corner, and the beginning of things which we man has not seen nor heard are just around the corner as well. So, Father, help us to be in tune with Your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, when that time comes, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to be so in touch with Thee that when Your Spirit leaves the midst of humanity, we shall leave with Thee. And Father, now we just commit this service unto Thee. We pray that You would be with us through the week. And bless us, Father, we shall be blessed. Save us, O Lord, and we shall be saved. Bring us back, Father, to the condition which You saw us in before the foundations of the world, when the sons of God shouted for joy. May our hearts shout for joy, because You're wrapping up Your plan of redemption, and we're part of that plan. And we commit ourselves to Your plan, O God. Your purpose and Your will. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and give thee peace. And give thee peace. And give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make His face shine toward you. And give thee peace. And give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. God bless you all.